Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson. Stay tuned for the next hour as Sue explores the human psyche, what makes us tick, and how to live better, more fulfilled, and more meaningful lives. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Jackson on the Finding Human program. And today I am working from home on Zoom, but I have Vusi on my screen with me. Craig is away, and I've got a bit of an infection in my ear, so I couldn't go into the studio today. But my topic is belonging matters and mattering matters. Now, some of you might wonder, what is mattering? Is it a word? And I must tell you that, yes, it is a word. And it comes from the verb to matter. And, you know, it actually means, it represents the feeling of that we are valued, we are cared for, and we're also significant to others. And in this world, when there is such diversity of you matter, you don't matter, and we're being put into boxes, it's even more important to know that we belong and we matter. As a community, we matter. But belonging in diversity also is very important, because it means that I get to share my strengths with you, and you share your strengths with me. And that is incredibly, incredibly important, because it is a psychological need to believe that we are significant, that we do have value, and that others do need us. Whether it's at home, in the workplace, in school, it's very important for us to notice one another and to notice our own contribution as well. This past weekend, I had the absolute honor of being at my grandson's bar mitzvah and my grandson Samuel. And it was the most wonderful, wonderful occasion. And I think that is where I really got this heading from, that belonging matters and mattering matters. Because at this particular bar mitzvah, it was wonderful to see the unity of people, of the children, of the adults, of everyone wanting to celebrate a young child's coming to adulthood, a young boy's coming to adulthood. And this was really incredibly important to all of us. One thing that hit me, though, was that with anti-Semitism rising, I wanted to warn our non-Jewish guests, which include a lot of my family, that they were going to have to come through security at the gates. And we take this for granted, but I realized that they would probably be very surprised if they were asked to produce IDs. And while we take this for granted, we also forget to feel gratitude to the security it gives us, and to actually show our security personnel that they matter and they certainly belong, and we really need them. Belonging also comes from this, what's called the grasping reflex. And this is from the moment we are born. And even in utero, the fetus has this grasping reflex. You know, when a baby holds onto your finger, it's that feeling of, and you feel connected to that baby when the baby clasps your finger or your arm or whatever it might be. But this is the baby almost saying, look, notice me. I need to feel that I matter. And we need to help people feel that they are significant, that they are needed. As parents and grandparents, we can help our children feel that they matter. When the hostages were returning, they had to relearn how to forgive themselves for surviving. And many of them turned this very deep pain into feeling that they belong to something greater than themselves. A lot of them turned to God, to religion, and others turned to mattering, or both the mattering and the belonging, that they believed that they still have had a great purpose, and that was to work for those who were still in captivity. And they had a huge message to impart to us. They did not give up on just saying, we have been rescued, we are fine. They looked at what was being asked of them now. And freedom is not freedom until everyone is free, all are free. And I don't know where that quote came from, but I like that. Freedom was not freedom until all were free. And we often have to forgive ourselves. And it's very important to also forgive others. And how do we forgive ourselves? Sometimes in forgiving ourselves, it is in looking at where do we belong? Where do we matter? And building our mattering, building our belonging, beginning to see that, yes, we are important. We do have a role in this world. Being surrounded this weekend by our community, our family and our friends, whether near or far, there were many who couldn't join us. And I looked around our synagogue and I recognized that there were so many people of all different religions, I might add, who had children living overseas. And so we certainly cannot say that we're all united as one in South Africa anymore, as many of our friends and relatives have chosen to live elsewhere. And yet there was still, by the messages we received, there was still that feeling of connection, of mattering and of belonging. And but today, this weekend, surrounded by our community, it was this feeling of being embraced and knowing that people care for us. How important is that, especially in this world today? You know, that I was listening to something that Douglas Murray said, which was really so important. He said that in Britain today, people are forgetting where they come from. They are forgetting what their past was, what they owed their past to. They're forgetting their traditions, their beliefs, and how important it is to bring that back into our lives. Because otherwise, what happens? We feel totally disconnected. And if any of you heard the news right now, you would have heard the anti-Semitism that's going on in Britain today, the Jew hatred. Well, we have to make sure that we do not bring that into our own lives and start feeling alienated from everybody else. And I must admit, a few weeks ago, we had a nasty incident with anti-Semitism at a school against King David students. And what was really very meaningful to me was the fact that the headmistress of our King David High School in Johannesburg, Lorraine Schrager, spoke to the pupils. And did she speak about hatred, about negativity, anything negativity that had happened, about how, you know, it was important to get our own back, to get our revenge? Not at all. Instead, she spoke to what was beautiful in our pupils, what was worth fighting for, not fighting for, but living for, which was the mattering, that we matter to each other, the belonging, that we belong to each other. And she also spoke about inclusion. So it was never about excluding others because they might be excluding us. Never. She spoke about inclusion, about knowing who we are, what our own purpose in our lives are, and behaving with dignity and care towards other people, and reminding ourselves that without doubt, we matter. We have to believe that we are important, hold our heads up, and make a difference in this world to other people too. And that, I thought, was amazing.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. If you would like to contact me, please do so on 061-895-1019. You're listening to High FM, and you're about to listen to an audio clip called The Nazis, The Perfect Aryan Baby. And it's to show you how perceptions change by challenging ingrained beliefs and viewpoints. I'd like you to listen to this and then I will discuss it. Thank you, Vusi.
A Jewish child had won a contest as the perfect Aryan baby among 100 German babies who selected to represent their cause. They took me to this very outstanding photographer in Berlin. He was one of the best photographers in Berlin. They took a picture, which then was framed and proudly displayed on the piano in the apartment. Several months later, a lady who came to help my mother clean the apartment at that time said to my mother, "You know, I saw Hesse's picture in the newspaper, on the magazine." This magazine was a Nazi magazine. My mother was both shocked and anxious and surprised. There was the picture on the piano right on the front cover of this magazine. The front cover with my picture said Sonne ins Haus, the sun in the home, S-U-N, sun. And my mother and Masha were just, and my father were just totally stunned. My mother took the magazine and rushed over to the photographer and said to him, "How did this happen?" The leadership of the Nazi movement had decided to have a baby contest. And they had asked the 10 leading photographers throughout Germany to submit their 10 best pictures in order to select the most perfect Aryan example of the Aryan race. This magazine was entrusted to conduct this contest. At this point, my mother interrupted. She said, "But you knew this was a Jewish child." And the photographer said, "Ah, yes." And then I remember the words my mother has used for many, many years, a direct quote she has always told us. She said that he had told her, he says, "Ja, ich wollte mir den Spaß erlauben, und ich habe recht gehabt." I wanted to allow myself the pleasure of this joke. And you see, I was right. Your baby won. So they just stared at each other and at the picture. So there it was. A Jewish child had won a contest as the perfect Aryan baby among 100 German babies who selected to represent their cause, to serve as their model.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program on High FM, 101.9 High FM. If you'd like to contact me or you have anything that you want to discuss, please do so on 061-895-1019. You were listening to a very short YouTube called The Nazis, The Perfect Aryan Baby. And this perfect Aryan baby was Jewish. And she was put up in all the posters that are Nazi propaganda as this beautiful, perfect Aryan baby. You can look it up on Google if you want to. She was beautiful. And as she said, Hitler said, this is the sun in the home. Not the sun as in a boy, but the sun shining, in other words, in the home. And to me, this was so typical of how perceptions can change our thoughts of the world. Here, if that child had been held up as a Jewish child, the child would have been hated in Nazi Germany. It would have been hunted out. It would have been they would try to find the child. But here, she was presented as this perfect Aryan baby. And what does this tell us? It tells us that perceptions change our idea of how we are seeing the world. And we have to start challenging those ingrained beliefs and viewpoints that can often prevent us from seeing the other. Who is the other? What, you know, are we looking at people? How can we look at other people and include them and show them that they matter? And in this, I don't know if I already mentioned this, but at the bar mitzvah and at the disco, what I really did appreciate was how all the children wanted to be there for one another. Nobody seemed to be left out. It was the most amazing scene of belonging, of caring, of making sure that everyone was there to enjoy themselves, so that the family knew that they were important, that the young boy knew that he belonged. And that's very important. Mattering includes not just our tribe. No, it's not. Mattering is not about excluding others. It's about bringing people in to be seen, to show them that we care. We are not excluding them. And we have a chance to make others feel that they matter. Sometimes it's in the smallest of interactions. And these we must never forget, because these are so important. What about the car guards who show us our parking, who direct us out of our parking? How many people are already on their phones, talking on their car phone, and ignoring the car guards completely? That's not fair. All we have to do is acknowledge them, thank them. You don't always have to have change on you to give them a tip. That's not always possible. However, it's very necessary for us to show that we do appreciate them, that they have been seen. And that is what is so often important. Let others know that you have seen them. Whether it's the beggar that is really irritating you coming up to your car and you don't have any change on you, or you don't want to put your window down, just acknowledge them. Just with a slight a finger up. My son said, I must never just put my finger up. It's very skew from arthritis. So they're going to think I'm pointing at myself and wait to see what I was going to do with that point. But but I must admit, I do believe that you have to acknowledge people. So as I say, you know, it's the car guard. What about the waiter? I've heard people be so rude to restaurants. It's embarrassing. How dare you be so rude to people? What about on an aircraft? What about the air hostesses? Somebody told me the other day that they were flying here and they were absolutely appalled at how people were treating the air hostesses. That's not acceptable. They are there doing us a favor as well. Sure, we're on their airline and we expect good service, but you know, they're also being paid to work and to help us. And what about this? I often think people forget completely. You know, when we were in Israel in this year and had to pack our own groceries and even say how many packets we needed, it comes as quite a surprise. However, I do believe that we need to decide that what we need to do is to thank the people packing our groceries. And, we need to get on with that. There's a message that comes through. Hi, Sue. Just wait. We talk so much of Jew hatred. What I hate is the intolerance of some Orthodox Jews in South Africa towards progressive Jews. A completely non-observant Jew who doesn't go to shul is better than a progressive Jew who goes to shul every week. This is so sad, because we are not a united community. I am a Zionist and a progressive Jew. Hi, Marion. Wow, that is such an important message. Thank you. And truly, you matter to me, and you do belong, and you are really worth listening to. And I hope many people have heard your message. Thank you for sending that. Belonging and mattering really are so important in this world of intolerance. We have to show each other that we care. So there you are. Our interactions matter. And the interactions we already have matter. But what about the others? And there you are, Marion. I will definitely notice that. And instead of always expecting from others, I really do believe that we need to optimize the interactions we already have. And that is exactly what Marion is saying, because Marion is part of a greater group. And it's time that we all recognize that. And I think it might have been Mozart who said, music is the space between the notes. So let's watch that space between all of our notes and let's make music out of it. It's so important. You know, someone else sent me a message to say that they so appreciate it when people phone them when they have been ill, or perhaps they're celebrating something, whatever it is, just to know that they have been recognized, that either their pain or their celebration has been recognized. And that is part of this optimizing what is already there for us, what we've been told about. And instead of expecting from others, we need to really show our gratitude towards one another for actually walking this hard path that we are walking, and caring for one another. I cannot even begin to express what this meant to me, that mattering is just so important, to believe that we can make a difference in the world around us. It's part of our own healing, is knowing that we matter. And children need to know this in their families, that they not only belong, but they need to feel they matter, that their presence has value to the family. And what they bring to the family, not in their marks, not in their sports achievements, not in how popular they are, but simply in being who they are. We need to acknowledge what they bring to our family and the difference they make. Young children often show this need to help others. And I think you can see this. Something that my husband said he noticed in Israel was when he was walking in the streets in the more early morning, and the kids would be going through to, the children would be going to, just hang on one second. Vusi, were you trying to say something to me? No? Okay. Sorry. I saw a shadow come up here on my screen. My husband was walking in the streets. I mentioned this before in Renana. And in the morning, he would go very early in the morning on purpose, because he wanted to see what was going on. And of course, there was lots of traffic and he was missing the silence of his garden. But what he really appreciated seeing were the young children walking to school with each other. And as they were walking with each other, they were holding their siblings or maybe a little friend's hand and walking together. They help each other onto the bus, into a lift, wherever they're going. And they seem to, and chatting away to each other. Children, this was how children show their need to help one another and how they enjoy it. And, you know, even young children, I mean, my little grandson, 4 years old, saw me staggering in one day carrying grocery parcels. And he rushed up to me and he said, "Safda, I'll help you." Now, I mean, here he was, and he literally took a heavy packet from me and he staggered in towards the lift very, very sweetly, carrying one of my heavy packets. And then my granddaughter, 8 year old, also, it was so sweet. She, every time I wanted to cross the road, it's not that I'm not capable of crossing the road, and I must admit, she would stop and she would say, "Now watch the stop sign here," because you know they've got those ones that beep in Israel. She said, "Listen to that, and then you'll know what's happening. And also just watch the color, and then you'll know when you can cross." And then she would take my hand and she would say, "Safda, give me your hand and I'll help you cross the road." And sure enough, she did. And while these gestures maybe made me feel a little bit decrepit, at the same time, I acknowledge for my grandchildren that I really appreciated their help. And children need this acknowledgement from us. They need to know that what they bring into our lives is important. How do we teach children to care? It is by acknowledging that we have noticed how they care. and what they do bring into our families. Have you ever seen children who have not been appreciated? It's one of the saddest things. I was listening to a YouTube just the other day, and it was a young boy talking about he had very bad, he obviously had bad physical problems, and he had a bit of a stutter as well. And the interviewer asked him how he felt about belonging. And he said that, you know, people laugh at someone who looks like me or sounds like me. And he said, and sometimes I really want to cry. But he said, but other times, now he said, I'm now in a group. And nobody laughs at me there. I belong there, he said. And not only that, they've given me work to do. And I help around and I tidy up and I do things. And they tell me how good I am. And he said, it's so nice to be here. And I thought, wow, how wonderful. This young boy at last has found his place where no one is laughing at him. And he can feel that he belongs, but not only belongs, he matters. He has a life of mattering. How important is that? No, there's something I saw the other day, and I thought how beautiful, but it didn't say who actually wrote it. So if any of you listening in know who wrote this, I would really appreciate you telling me. It says, we are here to heal, not harm. We are here to love, not hate. We are here to create, not destroy. And if any of you know who this quote comes from, I'd like to know. But I like that. We are not here to destroy. We are here to heal, to create. How important is that for us to teach our children? The next generation is going to come after us, to teach them that they have a place and they belong in this world. We've got some exciting news. Mr. DIY has opened a brand new store in Norwood Mall.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program on 101.9 High FM. If you've got any messages to send me, you want to ask me any questions, please do so on 061-895-1019. I'd love to hear from you. We're now about to listen to another audio clip, and it's called My First Return to Belgium Since World War II. And it's by a man that you'll hear him speaking. And his name is Vincent Speranza. And he was 98 when he recorded this.
I meet a lady in a shop who has an accent. And when I said, Madame, do I denote a French accent? She said, no, Belgique. I said, oh, Belgium. She said, yes, do you know Belgium? I said, yeah, bombs, bullets, and snow. That's what I know about Belgium. And she said, oh, you were there during the war. I said, yes. She said, with the 101st Airborne Division? I said, yes. She said, you have not been back. I said, no, I don't want to go back. She said, monsieur, you must go back. The people of Bastogne have never forgotten the 101st Airborne Division. There are monuments to you all over town. There is dinners and celebrations. Every year, all the men and women of the town put on American uniforms with the Screaming Eagle patch. They reenact the battle and so on and so on. My daughter was with me. I still said, nah, I don't want to go back. She said, Papa, if nothing else, we should go back to the cemetery where your guys are buried and maybe pay our respects. And my agreeing to that decision is what started the whole this. While I was there, I met a big Dutch paratroop officer who showed me where we were dug in during the war, my foxhole, and all the events that I had put back here hit me in the face. I even heard the artillery again, but. It shook me up. I had a nice, complacent life as an educator. So all of a sudden, this stuff comes back, and I realized that as a good American citizen and as a good soldier, I still have an obligation to remind young Americans, if my friends, freedom is not free, somebody has to pay the price. And all of us have to be prepared to pay the price at any time.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. You've just heard an amazing man, quite honestly. His name was Vincent Speranza, and he's no longer alive, but he actually won the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star, and I think the President's Award or something. And he's a USA Army veteran from World War II. And he began to work for the American Veterans Center, just helping veterans reunite into the families and into society. But he talks about freedom is not free, that someone has to pay the price, and that we all have to be prepared to pay the price for freedom. And freedom, definitely, Rabbi Afson and I spoke about freedom last week. Freedom is not freedom as we think it is, free of all obstacles, all anything that's required of us. No, that's not freedom. Freedom has a cost, and the cost is bringing ourselves to the world, recognizing other people, recognizing our own strengths, recognizing the strengths of others. This man, actually, I found something very amusing about him. At one stage, he was operating a machine gun from a foxhole, he said. And during the siege, he visited a wounded comrade at a field hospital. This was in Belgium. And the soldier asked for a drink. And Vincent Speranza had nothing to put a drink into. So what did he do? He found a beer tap at a unused or closed bar, which had been obviously people had left it very quickly. And he used his helmet as a container. So he filled his helmet with the beer and took it back to his wounded comrade at the field hospital. The problem was he was caught by the regimental surgeon and he was severely reprimanded. But he tells a story about it, and he's written a book called Nuts. And apparently it's written in there as well, and it's very amusing. But look at that. He saw how he could help, and he filled his helmet with beer. That's a lot of beer that came through there. Going back to belonging and going back to people feeling that they are that they don't belong, how sad is it that in this time when mattering really matters, so many people are feeling unworthy and not recognized. And we have that obligation. Stop and look around you. Who is needing your help? You know, I want to give a thank you to everyone at our synagogue, Lingsfield Shul, who stepped forward to make sure that the broch, the tea, the lunch, everything was so beautifully done. And of course, to our Rabbi Abtson, and to all the committee, thank you all so much for what you brought to our Simcha. A lot of messages actually have been coming through today, people saying, you know, mazel tov for your grandson's bar mitzvah, which is also just so reaffirming for me that we do care for one another. And I really hope, Marion, that you're going to feel the same. You know, that we are in our lives so often faced with hardships, people saying things about us or doing things that really hurt us. And sometimes we take that blame onto ourselves. And meanwhile, it's their own issue at stake, their own sense of inferiority so often that they feel that they have to lash out at someone else, make someone else feel unworthy. But we we are the custodians of our own worth. And we have to make sure that we know that we are worthy of being respected, that we are worthy of being in this world, of reaching out to, of just being here and being part of whatever is being asked of us.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. I almost forgot what my program was. And I was reading a message that just came through to me, and it was someone saying that they think that it's very necessary to recognize when people are not well or are needing a bit of assistance because they can't get around. It's someone was saying many of us have cars, and perhaps every now and again to ask, is there anyone needing a lift to the shops, or can we do a bit of cooking for you, or a bit of shopping for you? And thank you for that message. I appreciate it, because so often we do forget that people, there are many people who are sick, not only in our community, but in other communities too. Our community certainly does look to help others. But I would like to know that we also reach out to many other people, which I know we do. And I know that certainly King David schools and all the schools that are now under King David, they're all under King David together, they do help one another. And my husband asked me just to mention again that it's really so important to recognize what how children care for one another and how friendships are so important in our lives. And he said he noticed it especially this weekend. He doesn't like to socialize much and hates crowds, and but he loved every minute of our grandson Samuel's bar mitzvah. Even the disco, he was tapping his foot along at the disco, loving every minute of it. For all of you who know him and will be surprised to hear that, please just know that there is another side to him also. My sister and brother-in-law and two of their daughters are here from London, and it's been lovely sharing this time with them as well. You know, family time is a time of getting together. But last evening, my brother-in-law, Steve Hubert, mentioned that a friend of his in Cape Town, they've been on a kibbutz together many, many years ago. I think, I don't want to age you, but I think it was in the late 1960s that they were on a kibbutz in Israel together. And he has a friend in Cape Town. I'm not going to mention his surname, but his name is Neil, and he's in Cape Town. And I had the privilege of speaking to Neil last night. And Neil, I know that you have not been well. I wish you a speedy recovery. And it was so nice speaking to you. And I'm so pleased that you listen to Chai FM and that you really enjoy our programs. Thanks so much for that. Our short chat was really meaningful to me. Part of our healing is actually knowing that we do matter. And yes, Neil, you matter. So please, God, you heal well. And mattering, as I've said again and again, and I would really like to just say once more, mattering is important because it is believing that we are here, not simply to live this world, not just simply to accumulate wealth and beautiful things around us. No. Mattering is to make a difference in the world around us and to show our children that they definitely matter, to show the people that we interact with, the people who work for us, the people who work with us, that they all matter to us and they belong. We all belong. We are one big human family. And unfortunately, in this time of such adversity and diversity, and with anti-Semitism on the rise, we are forgetting that we are one huge human family on this earth to tread carefully, not to kill one another, to hate one another, to destroy one another, but rather to know that we matter to one another, and the only way we can ever heal our planet, heal ourselves, is by knowing that we belong. We have a place here. We are supposed to be here in the world in 2026. And whatever we can do, we need to know that we are here to make a difference. To enjoy ourselves, certainly, but to make sure that we bring others into knowing that they're important as well. Thank you so much, Bussy, and thank you so much, Makundi. You both kept me on. I would like to just say that Rabbi, two quotes from different rabbis. Rabbi Nachman said, "Behind every smile is an untold struggle. Be the reason why someone feels included, welcomed, supported, safe, and valued. Sometimes the smallest kindness can bring someone the greatest comfort." That was Rabbi Nachman. And then these two rabbis are rabbis that I love to quote. This comes from Rabbi Sacks. And he says, "In this world, our impact isn't measured by fame or wealth, but by the lives we touch and the hearts we lift. Even the smallest act of kindness can leave the deepest mark. A kind word can turn an ordinary day into something sacred. Let us choose to live in a way that brings hope, healing, and help to others. Let us be the reason someone believes in the goodness of others." There's going to be a beautiful song called Survivors, and it will be played after my program ends. It won't come through on the podcast, but you can pick it up yourselves. It's by Hakor Sababa, and it's called Survivors. Thank you, Vusi. Thank you.